In the small neighborhood where I grew up, there was a tiny corner store. My mother would often send me on errands while she prepared dinner. Buy a bag of vegetables. Get two loaves of bread, she would say. I would get an assignment and go to the store. But how could a small child concentrate on that, you know, task at hand? With candy, chocolates, glittering on one side, shouting, buy me, buy me. How could my attention not be drawn there? After a quick calculation, I smiled because I had enough money, you know, left over to buy one candy and one snack. It was an easy task to fulfill my mother's mission at that corner store. But each time I went there, different desires arose, making it difficult for me to leave easily. Have you had such experiences, right? Even when you look at your grandchildren, can't you see that kind of, you know, desire? That's the human heart. The Gospel of John describes Jesus this way. He was the one sent by God, the one sent with a mission from God. Like me running errands, Jesus' mission was to fulfill the will of God who sent him. What was the mission? We talked about this last week. It's in John 3:17. It says, God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that world might be saved through him. It was not judgment, but salvation. Why didn't he want to judge? Even God did it at the time of Noah, right? So he could have easily made an excuse. Besides living among people and witnessing their misdeeds, he must have felt the urge to punish. If I were Jesus, I would have done that. But Jesus followed the will of the God who sent him. He didn't seek his own glory, but revealed the glory of God. What was the will of God? It was the cross. It was the cross. The cross was the will of God who sent him. But did Jesus feel that way? No, Jesus also struggled. In verse 27, now I am deeply troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this time. But he immediately obeyed. No. For this is the reason I have come to this time. The cross is the essence of the Christian life. Do you remember what I shared 2 weeks ago? The cross was a scandal to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Believing Jesus on the cross as the Son of God was not convincing to anyone. There was a prejudice that the Savior would not hang passively on the cross. We think the same way. We think that death is the end of everything. It's the point where our possessions, our relationships, our accomplishment, our passion all come to an end. It's hard to connect death with life anywhere. But God has connected death with new life and salvation through the cross of Jesus. No one can be free from the shadow of death. There is no one who can solve the problem of death. It's a vain and frightening thing. But God allowed Jesus to experience the inevitable death that everyone faces so that we could be more intimate with Jesus. And through that death on the cross, she showed us the way of life and salvation that we didn't know. This cross between creation and redemption shows not the end of life, but its fulfillment. This new life is not something we can achieve on our own, but only through the abundant grace of God. Today's story is about Jesus entering Jerusalem to carry the cross. Some Greeks living as colonists expressed their desire to meet Jesus. They approached the disciples and said, "We want to see Jesus. Please, can you arrange it? Now Jesus' response should be something like, "Okay, sure, let's meet." Or, "No, I won't meet them." But in verse 23, Jesus says, "The time has come for the human one to be glorified." He didn't say yes or no. This statement indicates that the time has come to fulfill the will of the sender and bring glory to God. Simply put, Jesus is saying that it is time for him to die on the cross. Even Greeks want to hear the gospel and meet Jesus, which means that the time has come. But the disciples interpret it differently. They see it as finally reaching the glorious place they have long desired. For those who cannot understand Jesus' message, he continues to speak in verse 24. "I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The glory that Jesus speaks of is not the glory of ascending high in the midst of struggling to reach it, but rather the glory of descending to death, uniting with humanity, and cleansing our sins. From the perspective of the kingdom of God, Jesus shows the field through a single grain of wheat, and the orchard through a single apple seed. This is a mystery of faith, the mystery of the cross, new life visible only through death, the kingdom of God. The faith, represented by the cross, where one becomes a single grain of wheat, is never easy. It carries with it a sense of responsibility because it is aligned with God's will. But it also serves as a constant burden because it is difficult to live in such ways. We wait of the phrase, unless it dies, is significant. But the true weight of faith in the grain of wheat is that it bears fruit. The reason the grain of wheat has to die is so that it can bear fruit, the fruit of new life. In verse 25, Jesus says, those who love their lives will lose them. And those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. Who in the world does not love their own life? Here Jesus is referring to self-glory, glory, the attachment to one's own possessions. Most people cherish money, fame, and power as if they were their own lives. But when they cannot hold on to them, they wither and lose their zest for that, for life. The desire for success, the desire for recognition can make our lives vibrant, but it can also make them wither. It prevents us from finding the true meaning of life. Unless the desire and attachment for self-glory, glory, and self-satisfaction dies, we cannot find the true meaning of life that Jesus offers. It's like a game of tug of war. Have you played the tug of war? Each person pulls on the rope with all our might, straining as if our life depended on it. Even when we feel like we are going to collapse from exhaustion, we refuse to let go of the rope. And why? Because we see it as a lifeline. But no, it's when you let go of that rope that new life begins. When you let go of the glory of going up, the glory of going down comes. If we hold on to that rope with all our might, we can't do anything else. We become powerless. We are consumed by it. But when we let go, when we release our attachment to our own glory, we are left with empty hands to live a life of new beginnings, of bearing fruit in the kingdom of God. This doesn't mean that everything we pursue in the world is worthless. It means that we should not be overly attached to it. Those who are consumed by self-love cannot love others. If you're only holding on to your own rope, you have no hands left to help others. Think of the earth in which a single grain of wheat is buried. The earth is the basis of all life in this world. It sustains us, provides us with everything we need. The earth does not discriminate. It accepts everyone, regardless of race, age, gender, or social status. It offers itself equally to all. I find God's heart in this earth. We must bury ourselves in God's heart to become a new person. Like a grain of wheat buried in the ground, it doesn't engage in talk of war. It just rests in the embrace of the earth. Then the earth transforms that grain. Just as a grain nestled in the earth, may we nestle in the embrace of God. Complete surrender and trust. Only then can our ego die and new life emerge. Our glory is revealed by God's glory. Think about what we need to let go of so that the glory of God can shine through us. Let's pray. Dear God, we see ourselves living as if our world is bigger than God's world. Forgive us. Grant us the faith to rest completely in your embrace, to die to ourselves and become disciples of Jesus, igniting a movement of new life in his spirit. Lead us out of self-glory, self-obsession, and self-pity to become the hands needed in your kingdom. Make us true believers who reveal the glory of God's humility by serving as needed in the home, the church, and the world. As we journey through Lent, shower us with the love and grace of the cross. We pray in the name of Jesus, who knows our hearts. Amen.